Well, this is the interactive portion of the program. We'll take your phone calls with Dr. Shelley Kerr when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Shelley Kerr with us, our final segment here as we have the hour of your phone calls. So get ready to let your fingers do the walking. Let's talk more about this Buddhist monastery you were in. Shelley, how long were you there?
I was in there for 10 days. Silence.
Were they 10 long days?
It was pretty long. It was over 8 hours of meditation a day.
And what's your next project? What do you do next?
I'm going to be traveling around the country teaching Egyptian energy healing starting in October all the way into next year. I have a trip planned to Egypt and the Holy Land with a small group in March of next year, and I've got a new book called Meet Your Karma, The Healing Power of Past Life Memories, coming out in February from Llewellyn, that will outline a new technique I have called the Relief Method that helps people with anxiety and trauma.
That's interesting. We can do a little preview on that. There are lots of folks out there with anxiety these days.
Yes, unfortunately.
And turning to drugs, prescription drugs.
Yes. It's unfortunate.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
I think there are alternative things people can do.
Shelley, what's your website?
It is pastlifelady.com.
Simple as that. We'll get a link up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Let's go to the phones. Joe in Monterey, California. Hey, Joseph, go ahead. Get us started.
Hi, George. Hi, Shelley.
Hi.
I was wondering, because I do a lot of the work that you talk about, and I was also curious that I want to know if you ever worked on any more exotic stones like phenakite or some of the phantoms. But what I also want to ask is if you had in-between life regression, and do you know if you've been from that you were originally from another planet, because you have all this exuberance and widespread of knowledge and experiences.
Wow, that's quite a question. I do know phenakite. That is a really high frequency stone that really takes you into orbit. I love it. I haven't had any in a while. I really got very interested in the stone called Larimar, if people are familiar with that. I believe it had ties to Atlantis. Very, very high frequency. Came from the Dominican Republic. That was one of my favorites. Moldavite, that's kind of an ET stone, very high frequency. And
were you on another planet?
I have had visions of that, yes, of looking out over some red planet with some fingers, some scaly fingers.
Do you think it was a past life type thing?
It had to have been, yeah.
As opposed to you being abducted or something.
No, I don't think I was abducted.
You talk about Dr. Stephen Greer's method of contacting aliens. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do that. He does this thing called CE5, where we're having a close encounter of the fifth kind, where we're initiating some contact. So I went out not too terribly long ago. I've got a bunch of friends here in my local IONS group. And we all went out there, and I didn't want to, we're in Texas, there's a lot of bugs here, I didn't want to use bug spray, and so unfortunately, I got bitten, and I spent a couple days in bed trying to recover, and during this time, I felt like I got a lot of information.
What got you, by the way, mosquitoes?
Mosquitoes.
Oh, hate them, hate them.
Yes, I was trying to use peppermint oil. I mean, I know we want to use that holistic stuff, but unfortunately it didn't work. So, but I felt like I got a lot of inspiration from that period of time, and they're trying to just do a lot of planetary healing to try to consciously and proactively communicate with friendly beings from other places.
What would you say, Shelley, in your career as an energy healer, might have been the most dramatic thing you've ever gone through or witnessed?
In terms of a client, like what went on with a client?
Yeah.
And let's see, gosh, I say, in energy healing, it was still had to do with the guy who I tell the bloodstone story about, because simultaneously, he was living in a home that every 6 years was burning completely to the ground. And he was just looking sickly and horrible all the time. And so after doing regressions, he worked with the bloodstones, he did all these things. He sent me over to the house and to do a clearing. And I was just walking around the place. I said, there's something going on here, you know. And I told him, I think you need to leave. And he didn't want to, because it was a beautiful house. But he ended up leaving, and I saw him a couple years later, and I couldn't even recognize him because he looked so much better. And I think there was just a bad juju in that house. You know, I wrote all that stuff in the past about the people who told me they were cursed. And this was for me, that was one of the most really profound cases of this person was really circling the drain.
How often was this house burning?
I think it was once every 6 years, and it was coming upon its anniversary date during the time that I met him.
How do we know he wasn't torching the place?
Well, he wasn't the owner. Like, every 6 or 7 years with previous owners on the real estate records, they were showing that this house had been burned to the ground. And so he had bought it, maybe on its third incarnation. But he started having difficulties, and then it was getting ready to be like the anniversary date of its burning.
That's weird.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm talking about black circles around the eyes, looking horrible, going to doctors, and, you know, going to have a past lives. I mean, maybe it helped a little bit, but that was an example where those kinds of things weren't really helping a lot. And then the other case that I always remember in terms of past lives, there was a man who was afraid of the dark. He couldn't turn his lights off. And so we took him on a past life regression where he had fallen down a flight of stairs.
At night?
Yes. And so I had him imagine that he was going to light a candle and be able to see the stairs. We just kind of took him through a new reality where he was going to imagine something different. And he went ahead and went downstairs, and he was able to look around like he was planning on doing. And I ended up seeing him a while later, and he was better from that. So.
And why do you call this book Edgar Cayce's Egyptian Energy Healing?
Because the technique that we're going to talk about in this book is taken from one of the Cayce readings that was about Edgar Cayce's life as Ra-Ta, the high priest in Egypt, where he basically listed 9 symbols. And once I saw it and I realized it was a healing method, I started having like visions about how these should be drawn. And so it's a technique that I walk the reader through. It's very simple. You do self-initiation. Like when you read the book, you actually basically get the whole technique laid out in the book. You do a self-initiation. You can learn how to send a healing to someone else. You can learn how to do distance or group healing. And this process, these symbols, are very, very powerful. I've had a group here in Dallas that's been using this method nonstop since early June when I first started bringing it outside into the public. And what it does is when you deliver the symbols, the very last symbol causes the exterior fields around the body to begin spinning in a counterclockwise direction. So where Reiki, like when we do Reiki or even gem healing, the idea would be we're going to work on the fields that are around the body first so that we can make an internal shift. But these symbols are going straight in through the head. They're going in at a cellular level, making these shifts. So the person, once their energy field starts to spin in this counterclockwise direction, their internal light body just kind of lights up from the inside out, and it just goes poof, and it creates this light ball around the person. And different people are having different experiences. Some are saying they feel grounded. I mean, that's the main thing. But how that shows up for people could be different. Some people are finding that they had insomnia. They don't have insomnia anymore. Or they were just deeply exhausted, and they've finally been able to feel like they're rested. Or they feel calm again. They feel like they're able to do more. They're able to concentrate better. It kind of shows up differently for different people. But it's very easy to do. Everybody can do it when they just simply read the book and follow the instructions in the book.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
It really is. Mark in Baltimore, welcome to the program East of the Rockies. Hey, Mark, go ahead.
Thank you, George, for taking my telephone
call. Sure thing.
Good morning to
Shelley.
To Miss Shelley, yes. And here's I have a quick comment and a question. My late mother gave me one of these carbon steel stones when I was 4 years old, and I remember it very distinctly. And now I'm 60, and I still keep it in my pocket and take it wherever I go.
Ever had a cold?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had a cold?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I haven't had a cold in 30 or 40 years.
it's the coin.
And my late mother, she was very proactive during the 1960s. She was in her mid-20s, late 20s. She was very attuned to the carbon steel stone phenomena. And I understand that you said that they vibrated you spoke about them vibrating at a very high frequency. And so my question is this. I mean, physically, I don't feel mentally and all that. And physically, I mean, I feel the positive effects of it, but I don't actually feel it vibrating in my pocket or in my hand. And I was just wondering, are they supposed to, like, vibrate?
No, you won't feel it move. Right, Shelley?
Yeah, no, especially not you, Mark, because you've been using this your whole life. Because what happens is when you're first introduced to, like, let's say you had a new stone, you might feel a little something, but then once your energy frequency starts to level out and gets in rapport with that stone, then when it levels out, then you don't feel it anymore anyway. And you're totally tuned into it. And the thing is, this is awesome, Mark.
Does the stone ever lose its effectiveness?
I think you start kind of maybe ignoring it. I think of it like ladies, like when ladies have a new dress in the closet and they want to wear it all the time. And then the next thing you know, it's laying in a crumpled heap in the back corner, like you forgot about it. And then maybe you could pick it up again later and use it and it'd make it an effect. But I think once it levels off, then maybe you're less likely to use it. Although I still have a lot of clients who got stones for me like 20 years ago, and they'll show up and they'll go, oh, look, I'm still carrying these stones in my pocket, just like Mark is with his carbon steel, because, yeah, you know, it works.
Well, you were saying, like, the bloodstones will change color when they're being used. Does that mean they're losing their effectiveness or they're working?
They're working, and then in that case, like, let's say all the green and red gets totally sucked out of the thing, then what I do is I'll take it and I'll put it out in, like, some plants in the backyard.
And it comes back?
Yeah, it goes back to the earth, kind of like a fertilizer.
Huh.
Some of them can come back, and some of them, maybe they'll just go back into the earth.
And then you just get another stone.
Let's get another one, yeah.
Interesting take. Let's go next to Darcy in Salt Lake City, Utah, first-time caller. Hi, Darce.
Hi. How is everyone?
Welcome.
Great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about the bloodstone as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if I was to get it wrapped with copper from a jeweler, if that would change any of the properties.
If you wrapped it with copper, what would happen, Shelley?
Copper is like an electromagnetic transmitter, let's just say. So it would heighten the healing potential of the bloodstone. If you like it wrapped in copper, first of all, copper is wonderful. Secondarily, if somebody's out there saying, well, should I wrap it in silver or copper? If you like it, then I say, why not? Go with it. Because when you wrap it, then you can wear it, and that's good. But the copper would actually enhance its healing properties.
Yeah, copper apparently is good for you, isn't it?
It is. It can help with like arthritic pain, and just it runs the electromagnetic frequencies that are running naturally in the body. It helps get those moving so that you feel better.
We have a Dr. Joel Wallach who comes on the program, veterinarian by trade, but he believes if you take copper, it'll prevent your hair from turning gray. Did you ever hear
of
that?
No.
Yeah.
Well, we better give it a shot. Oh, you know what I saw the other day?
What's
it
that?
From something I saw or I talked about several years ago on this show is that, see, rose quartz is used in cosmetics. And so I got some magazine in the mail. They were selling this little rose quartz on a roller that you were supposed to roll up and down your cheek to get rid of wrinkles, because it does get rid of wrinkles. But I thought that was very clever.
So with this energy healing, can you teach people these techniques? I guess you can't you?
And right now, I'm really committed to putting more free resources out for people. So I've got a YouTube channel, and I've got a lot of demos of me just showing different stones and just different things that I'm doing. I'm showing some of the stuff out of the Edgar Cayce book on my YouTube channel as well. And I've just gotten this party started. I'm going to put a lot more things up there. But I'm showing people how we lay on stones and how we do different things.
How do people find you on your YouTube channel?
It is Past Life Lady channel. And there's links off of my main website to it.
Tehachapi, California. Ed's with us. Hey, Eddie, go ahead.
Hi, George. It's been a little while.
It has, yeah.
When Shelley was talking about triggering past lives from holding objects, it kind of made me laugh because years ago as a kid, well, I've had several events happen like that. The most recent they startle you, like she was saying, they come out of nowhere. And anyway, Mark Levin was plugging his book on the press, and he went into the history of the press, and he was talking about back at the colonial days when people had to lug around all the linotype or whatever they called the stuff back then for setting pages of underground newspapers to tell the truth to the people, you know, during colonial days when they were fighting Britain. And I immediately had a flashback, and all of a sudden I was saying, oh yeah, I remember that damn stuff was so heavy, and you had to carry it around, and I thought, well, isn't that weird given that I ran a conspiracy publication for a lot of years? But the strangest one happened when I first came out to California to Stanford in 74. I'd never been west of South Bend, Indiana, and I go in the grocery store and I pick up a kiwi fruit. I'd mm-hmm. never seen one before.
Oh, really?
And yeah, never. Well, in Pittsburgh, you know, I don't know about the same age. I never saw a kiwi. And anyway, so I pick up this kiwi, and talk about a strange thing. All of a sudden, I'm on a ship. UFO ship, and I'm holding a kiwi just like I am in the grocery store. I'm kind of frozen in time at the grocery store, and I'm on the ship and I'm holding the kiwi and I'm saying to my crew, somehow I know it's my crew, and looking out the window, we're coming to Earth. We're coming towards Earth, and I'm saying to my scientific, it was a scientific ship, and I'm saying, I sure hope we did our homework, because we're going to introduce this tree, whatever, this kiwi, we're going to introduce this into the ecology of this planet, and we don't know if we covered all the bases of what could go right or wrong. In other words, you're messing with the ecology.
You may have brought us the kiwi tree.
Wow.
When did you find out about kiwis, Shelley?
Me?
Yeah, you. You're the only Shelley I'm talking to.
Oh my gosh, I guess I've always, I don't know, when I was a kid.
Huh. That's interesting that he just found out about it.
I know.
Anyways, we're going to come back in a moment with Dr. Shelley Kerr and take final phone calls. Edgar Cayce's Egyptian Energy Healing is her latest book, and her website is linked up for you, pastlifelady.com at coasttocoastam.com. On our next program, by the way, stick with us for the first couple hours. You police officers listening to the program, you have to be part of this show, but I'll tell you about that later on. Police officers are committing suicide in record numbers. Why? We're going to be talking about that on our next Coast to Coast program, plus a little bit about the afterlife as well, so make sure you're part of the show. Those of you who are police officers out there listening tonight, do become part of the program tomorrow, if you would. And welcome back with Dr. Shelley Kerr as we talk about Edgar Cayce's Egyptian Energy Healing. But there are lots of energy healers, Shelley, and they all do a pretty good job, I think, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
They're out there trying, doing their thing. Now, are they drawing this energy from some force, or is that from within themselves?
I've always thought of it as coming from the universe. You're bringing the energy down through the universe and bringing it through the hands to another person.
Let's go to the calls. Let's go to Ed in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello, Ed. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you for taking the call, George. And, you know, you just proved why you're the best interviewer. You hadn't talked to her in years, and you're throwing out all these questions from these tidbits she told you many years ago.
A good memory.
Yeah. But I got a question about Casey. I also have something I want to mention about the picture of your ring.
Unless
it's been changed on my computer, that is very clear to me that I can't believe that hadn't been seen. What do you want me to do that first?
Yeah, go ahead, Eddie.
Okay, if you'll look at that picture, I'm seeing a little embryo. By the way, I'm not a right to life or other. I mean, I've looked into it a little. There's some thinking the soul enters the body when it comes through the birth canal. I'm just glad I'm not a woman. I don't try to participate in that. It's up to a woman as far as I'm concerned. But I see an embryo with the head looking slightly down, bigger than the body. You see the two dark eyes. Above it, you see a little blackish hair on top. You can see the right ear. You're at a 45-degree angle. You're not in the front or on the side. And you see the right shoulder, the right arm coming down and coming out in front of the sternum with almost touching. You can see the left hand. And you see the right leg coming up from the buttocks, and the knee is hitting the right wrist and the leg going down.
Yeah.
Do you see that?
I see that.
Very clear. A perfect little embryo.
That's interesting.
Okay, now, I had polio as a child, Shelley. I'm really amazed. I'm tickled to death you spent all the time. I spent a lot of my years studying Casey, having had polio and some serious chronic illnesses. And I have one question about him, and one thing I'll tell you on vibrations, which helped heal me. Casey talked about in 2012 or 2008 or sometime we were supposed to find something super important under the right paw of the Sphinx. Now, I know they've done digging over there, and they've kind of blocked the public from going in there, but I never have heard of anything. I don't know if with your abilities and Egypt visitations you've gotten any kind of message of what that is. I'd love to know that, and I'll just tell you, and then I'll hang up and listen. I had... with my energy thing, homeopathy. Now I'm very good at that. I'm not like you. I have no psychic ability except I'm what Hahnemann calls a sensitive subject, which homeopathy, of course, are vibrations. You shake and dilute it, shake and dilute it. Everybody thinks it's a tiny amount of the substance. It isn't. It's the vibrations. There's under Avogadro's law, there's 6 × 10⁻²³ molecules. So on the 24th dilution, there's not any molecules left. That's why you can go in a store and buy a rattlesnake poison, because there's no poison left in the remedy. So, but I felt it when Royal first treated me. He said, there's only three things can happen. He can't explain the whole theory. He said, you feel better, worse, or nothing. Well, he measured me, and he said, I'll never see somebody like you. You're one in a million, a sensitive subject. So he didn't really know how to dose me. And when I take a low strength the third time, all of a sudden it felt like a mule kicked me across the room. It was, boy, I'm telling you, it is powerful stuff. I took one remedy later and held it at arm's length and dropped it in the garbage can. And when I understood the theory a year later and visited with him, I said, that really was a powerful remedy for me. He said, yeah, Fred, it rung a lot of bells. So I said, I'll take it. And I opened the cabinet 30 days and started sweating on my forehead. I didn't want to take it. But once you've had a strong aggravation, I learned, you're right, your energy level's out. And I didn't even feel it the next time. But so that's what I was going to tell you on remedies and in your energy. And if you know anything about that Sphinx, I'd love to hear it.
Okay, great. Thanks. Let's see, so much to say. I had heard that they were getting close to going into the Sphinx, but the Egyptian government stopped them from finding whatever's under there. I have intuitively always believed there was something under there.
Sure. There is something there. Casey said it, and so did... Robert Schock.
Did they see X-rays too of the thing that is?
Yeah, they did some ultrasounds, and they know there's a chamber by the base of the Sphinx. I have a feeling that Zahi Hawassan group already went down there and found out what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Just my guess. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe they don't want it, out. It's
their secret.
I don't know. We were thinking, what if it proved that Egypt isn't the oldest thing or, something?
Well, he would have hated that.
Something that's going to make it harder for tourism.
Next up, let's go to Les in Durango, Colorado. Hey, Les, welcome.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
Pleasure speaking with you.
You too.
I had a question about your guest mentioned citrine, a stone for helping to attract money into your life.
Talk about that again, Shelley.
Yes, it's known as the merchant stone, because when you put it in the wallet or you can lay it on the body, it begins to shift the vibration so that money starts to come in. And so people are actually taking the little citrine stone. Let's say you had a little shop, you'd put a piece in the cash register and they would just start to see the money in the till start to multiply magically.
Why does that work that way?
I don't know. It's the vibes. There's something about that vibration. It just, it does work, and it's a very powerful stone. It's really good to use in the morning. Like, it just energizes you. All members of the Quartz family are energizing, but you use that in the morning, you go out to do some business, and things are going to be working your way.
We've got a numerologist who comes on the program, Glynis McCants, and she tells people who need money to put an 8 in their purse or wallet, and it'll happen. That's an interesting take.
Yes. Yeah, I believe in that.
It all has to do with the same kind of energy flow, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's vibrations. The 8's going to attract the money. It's going to shift the vibrations. People can even, I'm no numerology expert, but I heard you could shift your, like even your house address by putting numbers on it so that the numbers will add up to a better number.
Let's go to Dallas, Texas. Jay's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Jay. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I was wondering, you talked about stones for leukemia. My girlfriend has leukemia, and I didn't hear exactly which ones were good for that.
Would you repeat that, Shelley?
Yes. I'm sorry to hear that, Jay. I was talking about the bloodstones because they can, well, they help with the blood. To me, it's the top healing stone of all time. I don't want to limit it by saying exactly what it works on because it works on so many things, but I knew a family where a couple of the members of the family had leukemia, and they were carrying the bloodstones around, and they went into remission, and now they're fine.
When do they kick in? How long does it take?
It took, that was kind of interesting, because this was, the family member bought it for them, and they didn't believe in it, and so there was a father and a sister who had leukemia. The father, who theoretically would have been less open-minded to it, actually sucked up more of the color out of the stone quicker than the sister, who was actually more open-minded. So I think there's some weird, you know, we're like this weird combustion of past lives and vibes and everything. So I don't know. It's, I get this, it's going to work differently for everybody.
Do you help people out finding stones on your website, or what do you recommend?
Yes, I've got some stones on my website, and I energize them, and I pick certain ones to go together for the person who I'm sending them to, specifically.
Interesting. How many different stones are there? Lots?
Oh, my gosh, there's tons and tons.
And each one does something differently?
Yes.
That's interesting. Stephen in Klamath Falls, Oregon, welcome to the program. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, George. Hey, Shelley.
Hey, Stephen. How you doing?
I said one question and kind of a comment, or is it a question too? My first question is there a way we can like have our own past life regressions, like by ourselves, without having to go and maybe sit down with somebody and talk to somebody?
That's pretty difficult.
Yeah.
I think most people need hypnotherapy. What do you think?
It depends what all we're trying to uncover. If you're really, if there's a complicated issue that's going to need more attention, then it's better to go see someone. But if you want to just have an experience, I've actually got a video that links up to my YouTube site on my website where people can go try just a little audio of me giving you a regression out of my book Lifestream that was endorsed by Brian Weiss many years ago. It's just a sample regression, but many years ago, the very first past life regression that I ever had was a really, really short one where I just very quickly went into this space where I saw these boots. on a dusty Western town, and that was it. Bam, just very flashy. So it's not going to give you, like, if you really need deep healing, you're trying to find out some answers to some life questions, and you need a session, yes. But if you just want to experience it and see how it is, I think some people are concerned that they can't be hypnotized or they're not going to have anything happen. So it just gives people an idea of what they can expect.
Well, can some people go through their own self-hypnosis, basically?
I think in a sense they can. They could just go into a meditation and just, I think that's kind of hard to do, though. I think you'd at least have to be recording. Like in a lot of my books, I'll have a process where people can record it themselves and then play it back to themselves, and then that might yield a result. If you're a really strong meditator, though, you could just, you know, ask your higher self to just take you back to certain times. But I think it helps to set an intention, like, you know, I want to know why I love swimming or why I love kiwis or whatever it is, you know, that I'm trying to figure out about myself, and then set that intention and then try to go back and get the answers.
Let's go to Sophia in Los Angeles. Hello, Sophia.
Oh, hi, George. Hi, Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi, Sophia.
I sort of had a similar question to the last person, but I'll just make two comments and then one question. And I used to have a lot of dreams about gems and like even in like trees and stuff like that, and I'm also very sensitive to energy. And but in an acupuncture treatment, I had that experience that you described where it felt like you couldn't take sitting still anymore, and then all of a sudden there was like all this peace. So my question is, if you have been through a lot of trauma and like especially with people being very negative to you and abusive verbally, whatever, what can you do on your own to clear yourself of those people's thought forms that are blocking you
negative
from
people
having your own connection to intuition, to God, to whatever it is, you know, and peace? And I think a lot of people with PTSD, that's a lot of what they're dealing with. And it's like a block. It's like the negativity from other people blocking you from being okay and having, being able to have those intuitions that one would have without all that cloudy negativity.
You have to stay away from these psychic vampires, Shelley. That's the best remedy, I think.
I think, but the thing is, unfortunately, we're living on a planet, and so sometimes that's very difficult to do. I think the most effective exercise that people can do, that I think everybody probably should be doing every single day, is cord cutting, and I've actually got a little demo video of this on my YouTube.
What do you mean by cord cutting?
So let's say you and I are here, and there's an energetic cord that's coming out of our solar plexuses connecting us to each other. So in this case, Sophia, whoever this is, you just go close your eyes, try to imagine this is their higher self. It's like their soul, the highest part of themselves is in front of you. You're going to just imagine a cord, you're going to cut it, and you're just going to send them away. Hopefully with forgiveness and all that kind of stuff too, and like light that's raising frequencies and stuff like that as well. But if you just cut the cord and just keep, let's say they try to keep glomming on to you, just keep cutting the cord and just trying to cut that energy away.
You know, most psychic vampires, Shelley, don't even know that they are who they are. They don't know they're doing it.
No, they don't.
I mean, there's some of them are nice people, but they just have that ability to drain you when you're around them. You've been around people like that, haven't you?
Oh, yes. And I think sometimes it's real subtle, like you don't even realize that it's happening until your energy's been drained, and then you go, oh, wow.
Then it's too late.
Yes.
How long does it take to recharge?
There's the cord cutting is a good tool. The other thing that I love that I talk about in a lot of the gem books is just taking an Epsom salt bath.
Really?
That magnesium just washes vibes out of your energy field, and you kind of come up out of that bath just feeling like yourself again, which is a good thing to feel like.
And it works. Shelley, keep in touch on your next work, okay?
Sounds great.
Dr. Shelley Kerr, website linked up at coasttocoastam.com, but it is, of course, pastlifelady.com. For, of course, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasore, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.